Every entrepreneur has been there.
Growing pains obstacles make you growth stronger. Gains.
It's the challenges that cause us to level up.
I'm your host, Alicia Dominico.
Your original question was, can any company leverage partners to go to market? And the answer is absolutely yes. In fact, I think over time, it will be absolutely necessary to be competitive because going to market with partners is not only scales faster, it scales bigger. Yep, this is Pete Caputa from Databox, formerly HubSpot.
Pete Caputa started his career running a hybrid SaaS marketing agency. Then he joined HubSpot and leveraged that previous experience to help build HubSpot's partner program, a mutually beneficial program that helps agencies and service providers using HubSpot grow, which in turn helps HubSpot grow. It's been hugely successful, with lessons on effective partnership development that you can use to build your business, no matter what industry you're in. I invited Pete on the Company Growth podcast to share those lessons about creating mutually beneficial programs and what he's learned at his new company, Databox. I think it's really cool. Dan Tyre at HubSpot, who is employee number 6 at HubSpot, has been really helpful to our agency in growing with HubSpot and many others. He always accredits all of the attention and revenue that was made in the HubSpot partner program as your baby and the thing that you started, even though people were a little uncertain about it and whether it was going to be a successful thing. So I want to talk a little bit about how you knew it was a good opportunity. What were the key indicators to be like, we should start a partner program at HubSpot?
Before I joined HubSpot, which I joined in 2007, I ran a hybrid SaaS / marketing agency. So I understood the challenges that agencies had, both like from firsthand experience of like questioning whether I could pay my employees or buy groceries that month, right? And when I joined HubSpot, we started marketing our marketing software. We naturally attracted marketing agencies, a lot of small agencies at the time, especially. And a few of those would get into our sales funnel, and I'd talk to them, and I'd hit it off. We'd have the same. I could relate and empathize with their challenges, and over time realized that HubSpot, because it was an all-in-one marketing software platform, really enabled agencies to sell a package of services that they would deliver on an ongoing basis in a retainer model or recurring revenue model. And our challenge at HubSpot was, how do we get people to use the software on an ongoing basis? Because as with any piece of software, that's how you retain them. And so it was just a good match between what the goals of the agencies needed to be and what our goals were. And so I started working with a handful of agencies along the way. As it sounds like you heard from Dan Tyre, I faced some resistance. And Dan and I were always on the same side of this, of saying we're stupid if we don't do a partner program. Because Dan, I don't know if you know, had built out a Lotus Notes reseller that he had actually sold to Microsoft, ironically, before he had in his career, before he had joined HubSpot. And so he had reseller experience. He understood the power of reselling for a software company. And so he and I were advocating for this program. And the way HubSpot worked is like we would present ideas to the management team, and the management team would discuss it, you know, with us, and then like there would be yay or nays, or like it's like yeah to this and no to this, or do it this way or whatever. And so there was this like review process that would happen periodically. It got more the cadence got more strict as time went on, but in the beginning it was more of like, you got an idea, let's put a meeting together and pitch us. And so I pitched that and I got a no. I'm like, no. I later found out like we were raising our Series B, and we just didn't want the distraction of anything other than what we were doing already, which was just doing marketing and doing direct sales. And so a few months went by. They didn't tell me to stop talking to agencies or stop selling to agencies. So I had some more success. We also realized that very few of the other salespeople were having success, because they'd get on calls with these agencies and the agencies would say, hey, can I get a demo of your products? I have 10 clients and I think would be a fit. And so every direct sales rep would be like, woohoo, I got 10 customers coming in. That's my quota for the month. And then they'd do the demo, invest some time answering questions, and then they'd never hear from the agency again because they just didn't understand all the issues it takes to actually roll out a piece of software to 10 clients, whereas I did, right? And so we stopped rotating those leads to agencies, to the direct sales team, and we didn't do anything for a while. I pitched the program again, and after like a 2.5-3 hour meeting where I was literally leaving the room thinking that we weren't going to do anything, and as I opened the door, Halligan said, fine, you can start the program. So it was basically like, don't bother anyone else, just go do it, which was obviously very difficult. So I just started doing these webinars, very educational on how to sell a retainer, what should be in your retainer, and all of that kind of stuff, how to price and package it. At the end of the webinar, I'd say, if any of you are interested, like call me or book a call. And there was no like call bookings then, so I guess it was more of email me or fill out this form. And so doing that once or twice, I got like 10, 20, 30 partners in the program, and I started doing 2-3x of the of my quota or of what a direct sales rep was doing. And so at that point, it went from like everybody saying, no, we shouldn't do this, to Brian saying, when can we add more sales reps to that? And so then over about another year period, I built like the first sales team, like 8 or 9 reps, and got it to, it was probably like one of maybe 5 or 6 of our sales teams at that point. But then a few years later, it got to about 40% of revenue. And it was that, when we went public. And I think it's still pretty close to that, around 40% of revenue.
So after jumping some hurdles, Pete Caputa and Dan Tyre got their chance to build the program and prove its value. Whether you're running your own business now or working within one, Pete's experience shows that getting everyone on board with a big change can be a challenge, but persistence pays off. So let's talk about how people can adopt this concept. I mean, the reseller program, I imagine, like you said, it's like 11 o'clock at night. It's something that it's a big ask to try to put something like that together. But there is a benefit if you're targeting the same customers. HubSpot really evolved that program too, I think, from just the reps to helping the agency sell. Like when Dan Tyre launched Pipeline Generation Bootcamp, which they're now scaling at the Academy so that other people can learn from it, and the release of the Sandler and HubSpot training, I think, is part of that sort of Dan Tyre methodology of how any company can grow their customer base and how they should be making phone calls, which is amazing. And David Winehouse had a boot camp that was all about how to really sell a bigger deal, because like you said, a lot of agencies were really struggling with cash flow and they didn't know how to sell a bigger deal or how to value things or how to even break apart services that align with HubSpot's tools. David has done some, he's on the podcast this season too. He did some really innovative work about helping us understand and change our processes. So I imagine that was probably always part of your methodology, is coming out of the agency world and knowing that they needed skills to sell, to create retainers, to create even just packages.
So first of all, I keep in touch with both Winehouse and Tyre still. Winehouse and I are grabbing a beer next week, and Tyre, I call once in a while when I need a pep talk, as I'm sure many other people do. In the early days, it was, I don't know if you remember or know Patrick Shea, but it was me and Patrick Shea and a bunch of salespeople. Patrick was the lone marketer in like a 40-person marketing team that focused in on partners. It was pretty bootstrapped. I'm kind of a bootstrapper at heart. My first startup was bootstrapped. We've sort of bootstrapped DataBox, and we're cash flow positive and growing. So like, I don't mind the challenge of bootstrapping, but yeah, I always felt like we could have done more. Even when it was just sales reps and Patrick and I, like our main focus was training. Like we put together 8 hours of webinars. And so that was kind of the first version of like the Academy. It actually later became the basis for our paid onboarding service. And I think it's come a little full circle now, where at least for existing partners, that training is included.
Every company who is using HubSpot realizes, I think, and I hope, that education is such a big part of their sales process. I mean, unless you're, even if you're an e-commerce business and doing B2C stuff and your sales cycle is relatively short, there's still education, mm-hmm. right? Hence why we all bought into the idea of digital media as being something that would really accelerate the sales cycle or help people connect and then accelerate the sales cycle. So I think that, you know, the fact that you guys were innovators in doing that training and helping agencies understand what they needed to do to sell more HubSpot and sell more of their own and become cash flow positive is, I would say, it's one of those leading lights to be like, there's an opportunity here. You know, whether you're a manufacturer and you've got distributors out there who are selling your product and you're using HubSpot, you can be using those tools to help those people get educated about how to better sell your cupboards or whatever it is you're manufacturing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think inbound marketing and education are universal things that apply to any business. So the more you educate, the more interest they'll have in your products, the more loyalty your customers will have to you. So yeah, I think the more you give on that side, the better.
I think that's what's really cool. Like that idea of the give and the get we always talk about, right? In the HubSpot sales process is that the more you give, the more you will get. And I think that's really what that hybrid Sandler and HubSpot training talks about is just it's human to human selling now. You know, it's not business to business. It's not business to customer. It's human to human. How do we make a connection? How do we help? What can we give to create trust and give an understanding of how we think and how we operate? And you can do that with HubSpot, that in a scalable Lego block kind of way, where you say, we've made all these things for this audience, and now we can give it away to everybody who comes through with that pattern. That's really the whole beauty of the HubSpot marketing automation.
Measure the impact, right, on the business. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, and then being able to see that tie back to the deals closed won because of it is obviously huge. Do you think all companies can leverage partners to grow their revenue? And I kind of, maybe this is an opportunity for us to talk a little bit about Databox, which is the second part of the story. It's like you left HubSpot, you started Databox. You are the number one third-party integrator for HubSpot at Databox. Everybody's using it. So why don't we jump over there and just talk about that part of the story, and we can talk about some of those other leading indicators about how people can see that partnerships can really help you grow your company.
So we're the number one third-party integration, meaning that we're the most popular integration, except for the ones that HubSpot's development engineering team have built, such as like the Slack integration or the Salesforce integration, et cetera. And so obviously partnerships are important to us in multiple ways at Databox. One, the fact that we partner with other software companies like HubSpot, and that helps us get business. It also makes our product significantly more valuable. And then two, we work with agencies and we go to market with agencies. We have a special program for agencies where they use our product to track the performance of multiple clients across multiple tools and then report that out to the clients. We're going to market with them. We include them in our content. We're constantly sharing insights that we have from partners or promoting their content as much as ours. So there's a lot we're doing there.
Did you identify that because you're like, hey, we're all selling into the same space, right? So we all have the same persona. So it makes sense to create content together and launch together. You see that a lot. So is that how you kind
absolutely.
Of identify that?
Yeah, that's how I think about it. I think your original question was like, can any company leverage partners to go to market? And I think the answer is absolutely yes. In fact, I think over time, it will be absolutely necessary to be competitive because going to market with partners is not only scales faster, it scales bigger. If you got a business and you're trying to say your addressable market is 10,000 potential customers and you have five salespeople, you could do the math, but even if they have five calls a day, which is a lot, you're talking years before you even talk to all 10,000. But if you can find 100 customers or 100 partners who then go and have 5 calls a day, and you have 10 salespeople that manage those 100 partners, or maybe only 3 salespeople that manage 100 partners, you can start to really multiply your efforts. Now, think about that in the context of things that are much more infinitely scalable, such as your content marketing, your social media strategy, et cetera. And imagine having having one content marketer writing blog posts, and maybe they can do 3 a week or something like that. But instead, imagine having 100 partners all writing maybe just one blog post about you every week, right? Now you have 300 blog posts going out. And then start to think about the algorithms that impact visibility for a company, such as, say, Google's ranking algorithm, and how that's exponential in nature. And you start to think about how much more quickly you can gain competitive advantage, say, in the search engine results by having, say, 100 of your partners or 1,000 of your partners link to you and raise your credibility or elevation in search rankings for the keywords that matter to you. And so all of that stuff works a lot faster and can be a lot bigger when you start to think about how you leverage your partners in marketing.
And that's all very exciting math. And I wonder, in the same way that you taught agencies how, and you still teach them how to sell better, right, and give them the training, mm-hmm. I wonder if there's a way, or that's also a body of knowledge about how to create a great partnership. You know, like you referenced before, Brian Halligan saying incentives are important. And you said, well, I don't know if we need to do that. You know, there's that incentivization mm-hmm. can be a factor. And maybe you do incentivization with content, right? Like maybe it's not just a numerical or percentage. So I mm-hmm. guess, do you have like a 5-step or a 3-step process as to how you develop or create a partnership? Because I think there's been a lot of people who've tried to create partnerships in the past, and the partnership didn't go anywhere or do anything for anybody. Everybody just got busy and did their own thing in the end. So how do you cultivate a partnership that is actually, you know, has measurables and has outcomes and is effective?
Yeah. So yes, I have a formula. It doesn't work in every situation, but definitely have a formula. HubSpot was a little bit of a perfect storm in a good way, in that all of the elements were there to enable a really amazing partner program. One of them was that, HubSpot was already really good at marketing. And so therefore, agencies that were marketing to the same customer base wanted to work with HubSpot, right? They also really loved the content HubSpot was putting out. So HubSpot had already started creating demand amongst potential partners. Another one was that HubSpot is a really broad platform, even more broad now. It's like crazy broad. And so it enabled a large set of services, even when it was just a few features, it enabled a large set of services for agencies to deliver. I'd also argue that it kind of, the timing was right, and that like SEO, social, pay-per-click, they all kind of started to become popular around the time when we were launching. And obviously they're the primary means of going to market these days for most companies. So like there was a bit of a perfect storm there. And then, because agencies were struggling with cash flow inconsistency, like there was that value prop that was just really, really worked. So a lot of it was situational, and I don't think I could give you a formula that says, here's a partner program that will take your company from $1 million to $500 million in annual revenue, like HubSpot's partner program helped you, right? But there's certainly methods that we employed at HubSpot that are repeatable. And the first thing that I look at for a company is like, how many potential partners do you have? So that's the kind of step one. Marketing agencies and accountants actually are really good, like fertile ground for that, because there are like literally 250,000 marketing agencies in the world. And I don't know how many accountants, but I'm guessing a similar number of accounting firms, especially when you factor in, small accounting firms. And so those were perfectly right professional services communities to build a partner program around. And I think a really good analogous program is Xero's partner program, X-E-R-O. They're based in Australia, but they did something very similar with accountants around the same time that we did the HubSpot partner program with agencies. I also want to give credit to like Constant Contact, because they had a partner program, multiple partner programs, long before HubSpot did. So we weren't the first, but I think that step of like saying, hey, here's who our potential partners could be, is the first step, and that should be a relatively large market. If your market is large, right? And then if that's the case, where there's your market is large and your potential partner market is large, then the obvious place to work is first on the marketing side and attracting them, getting them onto your program, et cetera. The second step, which needs to happen pretty quickly, is some way of measuring your partner's impact on your clients. And so we had a formula for that, and we would analyze every agency client, and we would average those, and that would be the score for the agency. And that was actually the first thing that we looked at when we created the first tiers for HubSpot. And so that was the first thing that we did to really figure out who's the best. And what that enabled us to do is two things. One, we could say to all the new partners and the partners that weren't the best, to say, go be like them, learn what they're doing, follow what they're doing. And two, we could reward those top partners with referrals, with visibility, et cetera. And so that is, I'd say, the third step, is really building out the co-marketing program where you're rewarding your top partners with additional business. And it's weird thing for most traditional reseller people to wrap their head around, because the world's completely changed. We no longer need resellers in Boston to sell software to Boston companies, right? And so we don't need distribution for local reasons anymore, which is the original reason why software distribution occurred, because you'd want your salesperson to drive in there and take them out to golf for dinner, or just go in and give them the pitch and then assure them that they'd be there to hold their hands while they implement it and then train their team and all this other stuff. And so when SaaS came along and the price tag went from like $1 million to implement a system to $1,000 a month or $100 a month, you no longer needed that level of security because in your buying process. And so inside sales came along and kind of disrupted the more traditional way of direct and outbound selling or channel selling. And so nowadays, since we all buy products after Googling and trying it and maybe doing a Zoom call, traditional reselling becomes less important. But you need your resellers to be healthy businesses that are growing and have decent margins. And so they can't possibly market as effectively as you can anymore and generate that demand as well as you can. And so you need to feed them business. And increasingly, I think reseller programs are much more around implementation or servicing, or how HubSpot now calls it, a solution partner. You're there to help diagnose the needs, but also implement the right solution and retain the customer on the platform. And so that co-marketing piece is really important. Otherwise, there isn't the right incentives for the partner to really invest in learning the platform and doing a great job.
Collaborating with like-minded organizations always helps you scale faster, since you can get more marketing and sales done with the same or fewer staff. Being able to achieve that scale not only makes you competitive, but as we see with HubSpot encouraging marketing agencies to use HubSpot to prove the value of marketing services, HubSpot also became more and more relevant to their target market through the use of partnerships. So how do you cultivate effective partnerships? Here's Pete's formula. Step one, determine your potential partners. How many do you have? If your market and potential partner market are large, start with marketing rather than direct outreach. That way, you can pull them to you. Step two, Find a way to measure your partner's impact on your clients. When you identify the ones doing well, reward them and highlight them as a best practice for those other people who maybe aren't there yet. Step 3, build out a co-marketing program. Reward your top performers by giving them more visibility and feeding them leads. These are steps that any organization can try to not only see if partnerships are going to work for them, but to see how partnerships can work with them. Since at that step one phase, you'll be able to identify which partners are better fits than others.
More information on DataBox, visit databox.com. For more information on HubSpot, visit HubSpot.com. Find more episodes of the Company Growth Podcast on YouTube or at anchor.fm/companygrowthpodcast or wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you've got a company growth story you'd like to share, reach out to Tangible Words. We'd love to hear your story and use it to inspire others to beat their own company growth pains. Until next time, thank you for listening to the Company Growth Podcast.